Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Connor Happer Show back with you. John Schreiner filling in. Connor's on vacation. Guy who never goes on vacation. I don't know if that's true, but Brian Christofferson's here. BC, how you doing?
I'm good. I was on vacation last week, but that was nice of you to pretend like I just never clock out.
Well, if you look at your Twitter feed, it doesn't look like you do, and I looked at it.
Yeah, well, what you do is you just you're on the vacation and you're like eating dinner with your family and you see what your coworker did and you pop out one or two tweets and it always looks like you got the hustle going. So they help me out.
You got the game down. All right. I don't know if you heard this, but Keisei Tominaga's back.
Yeah. Just was over there. A little press conference with him and Fred Hoiberg. Exciting. I mean, I wrote this today. I think if you did like a Q score of popularity of Husker athletes right now, regardless of sport, I could make a pretty good case that the Keisei craze puts him at the top. I just think he's wildly popular for just, you know, the pizzazz he has on the court. Obviously, the way he produced at the end of last year. And it kind of felt like we needed a follow-up act to how that season ended, because he did have some double figures games before the new year, but it was sort of after like mid-January when he just went on that kind of sizzling streak where he's putting up those 20 point games and all that stuff. So I think people want to see, like, let's see this play out for a full season and see what that looks like. And you know, as Hoiberg pointed out today, I think one of the things that's sometimes underappreciated about Keisei is the way he moves without the basketball. I mean, he was so good at playing off Derek Walker last year and getting a lot of buckets at the rim and finishing, shot over 50% from the court. So if he can find a connection with some of the new guys who are coming in, like Rink Mass, the transfer out of Bradley, 6'9 guy, I think they're going to need to have a pivotal role. It should be exciting. He puts a few more people in the seats, I think, just by his presence.
So who do you think is the bigger winner here? Is it the Nebraska fans getting to see another season of Keisei? Is it Keisei himself getting to put another season on tape? Or is it Fred Hoiberg just getting that prime scoring threat back in his lineup?
I think that's one of those where you answer D, all of the above.
Yeah.
Because it just I do think Keisei, you know, if he wants to play at the next level, he needs that full season where you just, you know, dominate, sort of like he did the last month and a half. And also, he said it himself, he's tried to bulk up and, you know, get stronger on the defensive end. I think he showed improvement on that side of the court last year, but he wants to take another step. But there's no doubt about it. When he's has it going, I mean, this fan base just feeds off of it. He's one of those players who he can wind up and, you know, shot fake from 35 feet out, and there's just like a buzz in the arena, like he might let it go, right? You know, so you don't know. Like he's got that flair, and you know, he's got the type of personality where, I mean, there's the picture of him. It was even brought up today, so I'll mention it on air. It's out there. He Penn State, you know, students were heckling him, I think it was, and he flipped them off and it got caught on camera. But he's just one of those guys who, I think even the Penn State people like it, you know. He's just got kind of that personality where that's cool. And I think there's people in the Big Ten that are, you know, kind of excited that he's back, because if you're just wandering through channels on a Tuesday night watching, you know, what's the Big Ten game on tonight, and you got a guy who can occasionally just get it going from beyond the arc, it's fun to watch for everybody. So I would say it was a win-win for all parties, and now it's just a matter of how he can sort of gel with this new sort of group, and they're going to have all summer to do it. They start their workouts on Monday.
So what do you think a successful 23-24 season looks like with Casey in the lineup? What's the bar?
Well, I know people scoff at it, but over there, you always got to think like tournament. I mean, you got to think that, otherwise, what are we doing here, right? I mean, that's the goal, and I know Hoiberg talked about it near the end of last year, how much he loved that team, but he said, I hope a year from now we're playing for our seeding. So that's where his mind is, and there's going to be people on the outside that snicker about that and say, yeah, good luck with it. But, you know, they did improve 6 wins last season to get to 16-16. And I think they really felt like if the main nucleus had stayed healthy, they had a lot of the defensive metrics that would have made them tough in the Big Ten and given them a shot at making a run at postseason play or a little bit more of a run than they did. So they kind of used that blueprint again, I think, as they got some of these portal additions. If you look at those guys, all of them kind of come from winning backgrounds. Aaron Ulis, you know, point guard at Iowa, has been on a tournament team. Rink Mass had a lot of success at Bradley. And I think sort of the wild card people don't talk about as much, but Hoiberg seems to be pretty fired up about Bryce Williams, who is, you know, the 6'7 shooting guard out of Charlotte who got really hot at the end of last season and can give you another guy from beyond the arc who's just a versatile player. So I think they feel like they got kind of a steal on him, so we'll see.
All right, let's shift over to football. You had a story about the wide receiver out of Nashville, Demetrius Bell. He was kind of a late commit. He was in that late signing period. You wrote about him wanting to come in and try to contribute in his first year on campus. What stands out here, and what was the sort of the genesis for the story?
Well, I'm going through all of the guys who are just arriving this summer, so he was sort of the last one. But we could talk about him or the wide receivers in general, really, that are coming in. There's the doors open, not necessarily that they have to be, like, you know, the second or third guy in the rotation. They don't. Billy Kemp is going to be, I think, if he stays healthy, he's going to catch the most passes. I'd be shocked if he didn't. Then there's Marcus Washington, and then you're hoping that Isaiah Garcia, Castaneda, Xavier Betts, Joshua Fleeks, those guys give you something. But Rule himself said in the spring, so I'm just going off what the head coach says, we might need some of those incoming guys to flash a bit. So you've got about 6 guys arriving, including Malachi Coleman, of course. But Demetrius Bell, I mean, he was a guy who was recruited by SEC schools and had some good options on the table. And, you know, I think he bonded with this staff pretty quickly, very late in the cycle, as you mentioned in the question. But I think they feel like they got, you know, a guy who you could argue some rankings have him as a top 35 wide receiver in the last recruiting cycle. So he's got a great ability once he gets the ball in his hands to, you know, put a lot of yards up after the catch. So we'll see how that translates to the next level. But I think if we talk about any of those young receivers, there's a feeling like, hey, there's opportunity here. This is a staff that has shown they will play freshmen before, and there's opportunity on the depth chart for at least 2 or 3 of them, I think, to get on the field. And if you go through the receivers, I would argue that Demetrius Bell actually has as much a resume in high school as any of the guys that are coming in. So that would be the argument why he could be, you know, a player who helps out this year. Of course, you got to figure out the offense fast and adapt just a new way of doing things at this level. But he's definitely got a skill set that's intriguing.
So that feels like a little bit of a shift to me in that, you know, with Rule staff saying, you know, there's opportunity for young guys to come in. It kind of seemed to me like in the past, especially under the Frost staff, if they didn't have 100% absolute trust in a guy, there was just no place for him on the field. It was almost like they couldn't figure out, like, okay, we can get a package of plays for this guy. Even if we can't trust him on every down, he's got some athletic ability. It just seemed like they could never figure out how to get something for those young guys to just see the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. It felt like when we did stories like I'm doing now about incoming freshmen the past few years, it was sort of just an exercise in putting content up without really believing necessarily that a lot of these guys were going to be any factor for a year or two or three. And I'm not saying all these guys are going to come in and play. Obviously, they're not. But I do think if you look at sort of the background of Rule and his staff, they have shown a willingness to give those guys opportunities to grow up a little bit. Obviously, you got to know what you're doing to get out there. And it's not going to be easy to just knock some of the veterans to the side who have a lot of college experience. But, I mean, we can talk about the receivers. I could see two or three guys maybe that play there. I think if you go to the defensive line, I could see, you know, three guys that play there. I know of two already in Prince Will and Cam Lenhart. If you will, you know, watch the spring game and they're out there with the first unit. And obviously Ty Robinson's going to be out there in the fall and that adds another body. But I think those guys are going to get snaps. And, you know, Tristan Alvano is a kicker. You know, a lot of people think has a good shot at that job. So I think if you start going through all the positions, you know, what's that number come to? Is it going to be 8 to 10 guys who get on the field? I'm not sure, but I think we're at least, when we're having the conversation, it's more legitimate this year than it has been in the past, and that makes it kind of fun.
So Logan Smothers announced where his new home is going to be, Jacksonville State. He goes back to his home state of Alabama. I think when we heard about the three quarterbacks that were getting ready to transfer, Smothers, Thompson, and Torres, there was, you know, some consternation, some hand-wringing, some worry about, you know, oh, we're losing these guys. And for me, it's always a question of just watch where they end up, right? Like, if Logan Smothers had transferred to Oregon and been expected to play at a school like that, if Casey Thompson had transferred to, I don't know, let's say in Iowa, if Richard Torres had gone to Texas A&M, right, then I think you could be like, okay, we lost some guys. But they're ending up at Jacksonville State, FAU, and Incarnate Word. To me, this isn't Ernest Hausman going to Michigan, which is like, okay, we lost a pretty good player if Michigan wanted him. I always kind of try to look at where do these guys transfer to kind of gauge, you know, what kind of player is actually leaving. Does that make sense? Am I off base? What do you think?
No, I think that's fair. Now, to add to the conversation, you're starting off the right way, I think. But you could say, you know, Richard Torres went to Incarnate Word and it's home. I mean, that's down where he's from. And then, obviously, Smothers is from that area, and I think Rich Rod's the coach there now. So there's probably some intrigue in that and just his offensive mind and how he could play in that system. You know, in this day and age, Logan Smothers served his time in this program more than a lot of guys would. I'll say that. Like, he stuck around probably a year or two longer than a lot of players in the portal era do. And I just think it was that time in his career where he said, I only got a couple years left. I gotta get something on film. I want to play, you know, and it's probably going to be tough to do it the way it is. So I think, yeah, it would be really nice for Nebraska if he were around. He's kind of the guy I point to actually more than Casey Thompson, because I always thought during the spring, man, it's going to be really tough to keep both Sims and Casey, you know, like two guys with that much experience, and they're going to want to play. So that's going to be really, it just felt like a long shot that both were going to stick around. And obviously they love Sims. They brought him in December. I don't blame him at all for that. They like his skill set. They also have a quarterback in Casey Thompson who they knew, you know, wasn't going to be able to go through the spring. And you'd be going into the summer, like wondering how's this guy's arm really, like what is he fully recovered, and everything would be riding on that. So I think they were wise to bring in Jeff Sims, not only for his skill set, but just the scenario that was in place. Logan Smothers was the guy, if he were still around, you'd say, okay, I feel a little bit better about the depth with him and Harburg maybe fighting it out for the backup spot. But Nebraska's QB situation isn't that much different than a lot of Power 5 schools, honestly. It's like they feel good about their QB1, I think. And then there's sort of that up-and-comer guy you're like kind of hopeful about, got to keep developing. The coaches believe in him. The fans still want to see more. And, you know, Chubba Purdy's been around a bit and is just going to have to keep growing and, you know, be a guy that you might have to count on at some point. But I've said this to the people on our message board, I mean, if you go through and look at quarterback depth charts around the country, you're going to see a lot of them that look very similar to what Nebraska does right now. So I think, honestly, we kind of ended up with what you might have suspected all along.
Yeah. The portal era, Matt Cassel's not staying at USC anymore, right? Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Different ball games, so it's hard to hang on to those guys. But, yeah, so but they do need Jeff Sims to stay healthy. I mean, that's isn't that the story every year?
Every year.
Got to stay healthy, any team you talk about.
All right. It's Brian Christofferson of Husker 24/7. Brian, thanks for stopping in.
Yep, thanks a lot.
All right. Got to get to a break because we have the odd news coming up. It's everybody's favorite segment.
Look at that.
The odd news. That's coming up next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.